Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. Today we're talking about probably one of the most powerful teachings we have ever done. You know, working with families all these years, I tell people, you know, I worked in the secular workplace. I worked as an engineer. I was working in the electrical industry for 12 years and dealt with a lot of different kinds of people. And you learn about people working in business, good, bad, ugly, in between. But then I worked on church staffs for about 12 years, and then we've traveled for about 17 doing seminars across the country on families, parenting, marriage, men. And so in almost 30 years of teaching, probably one of the most powerful things we've ever taught, ever heard taught, is having to do with relationships. I'll promise you right now, in your life, you're either happy, you are sad, or you are mad based on one major thing, the relationships in your life. And maybe you've got good ones, maybe you've got bad ones, maybe you don't have any. And that's a problem as well when you're left alone. So we're going to talk about, we've got these next six series, we're going to talk about got friends. If you got any friends, like got milk, got friends, you got money, well, friends are powerful. And you're going to need some, you're going to have to get some. If you don't, you're not going to make it in life. Nobody in life makes it by themselves. Nobody. God designed it. So, you know, if you go and you look, if you go to the prison systems where we've done seminars, if you don't do what's right, they put you in a place called solitary confinement. It is a form of punishment to be by yourself. Depression, suicidal thoughts. I mean, it's not good for a man to be alone, God said. So today we're going to take the very first step in this. We're going to talk about the power of two. Because I think the first thing before you're going to want to have a relationship with somebody, you've got to know the importance of it. What's it going to do for me? Is it going to take time from me, cost me money? Is it going to be a hassle? Well, the Bible is full of scriptures on friendships. There are more scriptures in your Bible on friends and friendship than there are on the subject of heaven and hell combined. God said a lot about relationships. God uses people. The devil uses people. There's only two groups. God uses people. The devil uses people. If God's going to help you and bless you, he's going to do it through somebody. If the devil's going to try to take you out, he's going to do it through somebody. It's friends and enemies. It's like there's two worlds, two kingdoms. There's righteous, unrighteous, faithful, unfaithful, kind, unkind. There's just two worlds always coexisting. And so the relationships you have are critical. But if you don't know how to be a friend, you're never going to have one. And that's where you got to start. So you go to the Word of God and find out what God said about it. Because if God made that there'd be a relationship, I tell people, if you hate people, you're going to hate heaven. Because it's real full. And if you hate people, you're going to hate hell. Because it's full. There's no place you're going to go for the rest of eternity where you're going to be by yourself. And so people are real important to God. God said, as iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend, you grow by being around, getting around other people. If you don't get around somebody else, you will stop growing. You'll stay who you are the rest of your life. And I've been to almost every one of my high school reunions, 5, 10, 15, 20, all the way to the 40th one. And I've noticed something. Some people grew after they left high school, and some people didn't. Some people just flat stayed the same. Didn't grow a bit socially, mentally, academically, financially. They didn't grow. Why? Because you didn't get around anybody. God designed growth to happen by getting around other people. And if you don't do that, you're not going to grow. But you got to be warned about it. You can get around the wrong kind of people. You not only will not grow, you'll go backwards. You'll be going the other direction. So today we're going to talk about the power of two. Great scripture. So if you got time, get a pencil and a piece of paper. You're going to want to write some of this stuff down. I promise you, of all the teachings we have ever done and all the seminars, we do 12 major seminars around the country and sometimes out of the country. This right here, what I will give you today, I'll promise you, in my personal opinion, is the most powerful teaching we've ever done. If anything's going to change your life, it's going to be the people in your life. And if you don't know how to go after the right people and guard against the wrong people, God can't move with you, and the devil, he'll try to take you out. So pay attention and learn. This is going to be real entertaining. It's a very entertaining teaching, but it's also very good. So today, the power of two. Look at this. Number one, we'll start in Genesis. Favorite scripture, Genesis 2:18. God said to Adam, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make a helper who's just perfect for him. Now, maybe God was just talking out of context, but I believe he meant it for everybody. it's not good for man to be alone. God made us to hang out with other people. You know, in the body of Christ, if you look in the New Testament, it says the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. We all need each other. I have strengths and I have weaknesses. I have strengths you need. I have weaknesses where I need your strength. It's the body of Christ. We grow together. It's where family is so important. You grow together. But the devil's always trying to divide. The devil tried to separate God from his throne. The devil tried to separate God from his angels. He tried to separate Adam from Eve, Adam and Eve from their children. He tried to separate Adam and Eve from the garden, their job. The devil is divisive. Jesus said this, Father, make them one together like you and I are one. God's looking for unity. The devil's looking for division. You should always be mindful of that. Next time you get mad at somebody or somebody gets mad at you, understand what's going on, the motivation behind it from the spiritual realm. We're trying to break something up. So listen to these scriptures. This is really good. Matthew 18, 19. Many of these should be very familiar with it if you've been in church at any time at all. Matthew 18, 19. I tell you this, if any two of you agree here on earth concerning anything they ask my Father, this is Jesus speaking, if any two of you agree here on earth of anything they ask my Father in heaven, it will be done for you. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The power of two people. Not good to be alone. The power of two, if any two of you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Reading from the New Living Translation. Says this. Two people are better than one. You're going to hear it over and over today. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. I didn't say it. God said it. But you can just watch society. If you're not even a Christian, if you're not a believer, if you're just an unbeliever walking around, you've got enough sense to know that two are better than one. Says this, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Oh my goodness. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Look, we know that in stranding wire, braiding rope, the more the better. There's strength, wisdom, and a multitude of the counselors, the Bible says. It says this in Amos 3, verse 3, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Whole purpose of agreement, you know, like kind draws like kind. I used to teach our teenagers this all the time. You'll draw who you are. If you don't grow, you'll draw somebody just like you. You got to learn to grow. The Bible, throughout the New Testament especially, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were expected to grow up, not stay the same. How so sad to meet some people year after year, week after week. You know people, we all do, and they never change. They refuse to grow. They get stuck on the side of the road. It's like somebody's going on a trip and they're stuck at a concrete table on the side of the road when Disney World's around the corner because they just decided to sit down. They either got depressed or sad or mad or lonely. Something happened and they stopped. You've got to learn how to get up and move, how to reach out to other people. It says this in 1 Timothy 5:19. Do not listen to complaints against an elder unless there are at least two or three witnesses who accuse him. Now, we do this in a court of law. We've got 12 jurors. You know why we have 12? It's based on biblical principle. We're not going to let one person accuse somebody else because they may lie. We want to at least two or three witnesses to corroborate what just happened. Is that so? Is it not so? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1, as the scriptures say, the facts of every case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. You ever wonder when we get that in a court of law? What's the biblical principle? There's safety in numbers, wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Two are better than one. You getting the picture? Two are better than one. And so what happens, we're talking about friendships. People say, and I've had my own kids. That, you know, I told them one time, you are never going to have a Greyhound bus pull up in our driveway and have 50 people get off and come knock on our door crying, saying, you know, God woke us up in Dallas, Texas yesterday. Told us, come Tulsa and be your friends because you don't have any. I said, if you don't have any friends, you're the reason you don't. The Bible says, he that would have friends must show himself friendly. If you're waiting on somebody else to come reach out to you, you've got the Bible, you've got it backwards. People who have friends show themselves friendly. They help other people. They reach out. They smile. They know how to carry on a conversation. Well, they know how to start a conversation, number one. They know how to carry on a conversation. They know how to end a conversation. Those are skills in any etiquette book. But so many, it's so sad. I see so many kids in school when I was a school administrator, back of the class, back of the line, back of the bus, back of the bus. And they're so shy and withdrawn. They think people are making fun of them. They don't feel good about themselves. And they just don't get anywhere. And then other kids start making fun of them. It gets worse. It's almost like pouring gasoline on the fire. Why? You don't know how to have relationships. The Bible and Proverbs alone is packed with scriptures on friendship, being friendly, how to be a friend, how to have a friend. God did not intend us to be alone. But you're going to have to learn what it says. Now look what it says here, Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. What? We need more than one person. We need several people. What do you see? I see this. It's like, you know, it's staring at a mountain or staring at an elephant from different sides. What do you see? Because what I see, you don't see. We see different things. Proverbs 15:22. Proverbs 15:22 says this. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. You know, I don't care if you're getting a doctor's opinion because of a health issue. You're having somebody look at your carburetor in your car because it's not running right. I've told my kids their whole life. I was taught as a young man. Don't take just one person's advice. Get a second opinion. You ever heard that? Get a second opinion. And we've had it happen both medically, financially, mechanically, where all of a sudden you get a second or third opinion, you realize, oh my goodness, the first person, they weren't evil, they just made a wrong guess, a wrong assumption, a wrong decision. It's like, boy, I'm glad we went and got another opinion because that would have been costly. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, the thing is established. Same thing in your personal life. You got to have relationships in your life. You can't be alone. You won't grow. You don't have everything that you need. We need other things. I like this scripture right here, Proverbs 24:6. It says, don't go to war without wise guidance. Victory depends on having many advisors. So whatever you do, counseling, war, business, relationships, two are better than one. Are you getting this? Throughout the Bible, and this is just, today's just a half-hour session. We could camp on this for hours, and we do whole seminars on this. It's not good to be alone. God opened up in Genesis 2. Not good to be alone. We need counselors. We need advisors. We need friends. We need relationships. How are we going to get them? Well, sitting around feeling sorry for yourself won't get you any. You're going to have to learn and be taught how to reach out. And the Bible will teach us how to do that. Now look at this. Proverbs 27:17. All of this is iron sharpens iron, so the countenance of a friend. I tell people when they get married, you know what happens? You know what marital conflict is? Those are two friends talking. That's what marital conflict is. People come in all the time thinking, I must have married the wrong person. We can't seem to get along. I said, no, you married somebody opposite. You know how God sets this up? Men and women are opposite, male, female. Have you noticed that? Mentally, physically, sexually, every way you can imagine. God made us different. God put Adam into a deep sleep, took a rib out. He took stuff out of a man. Guys, we don't have it anymore. She's got it. And ladies, you didn't get everything. He left some stuff behind in a man. God has designed so that men and women get together. You notice that? The problem is if you do that, you don't know how to have a relationship. That's why we have an over 50% divorce rate in the United States. Two people who swore their undying love to one another got divorced. Why? Well, because there wasn't any wisdom in that thing somewhere. It was just all flesh. There was no wisdom. We weren't listening to God. We just jumped in the middle of something without counting the cost or getting to know somebody or getting to know what they thought or who they hung out with. Now, I want to give you this. I love this. This is about relationships because we're talking about friends. Two are better than one. This is a great story. It's in our seminar called God Knows How to Raise Your Kids Even If You Don't. And I'm going to use it today for the fact of teaching about friendships. This is a great story. This is about two families and how different lives they led. Two families over six generations. This guy did a study of two different families to show you the power of right relationships and the devastation of a bad relationship. I'll promise you the devil, when he shows up, he doesn't show up with horns on his head, puking green stuff, his eyeballs hanging out, his head turning around and around. He's going to show up through somebody sounding good, smelling good, and looking good, but absolutely full of pure evil. That's why if you don't know what the scripture said about what is a real friend, what do they look like, what do they think like, what do they talk like? What do they do? The Bible's full of what. How do I pick them? Well, I'll tell you. My kids used to ask, Dad, how do we know who a good friend is? I said, well, babe, the best way is just to get them in a 5-minute conversation because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You get any human in a 5-minute conversation, you mark them. Because whatever you're concerned about, you like, afraid of, or excited about is in here, and it'll come out of your mouth, and you can't stop it. It's a law like gravity. Salesmen know this. That's why they sell things to people who probably weren't going to buy something, but they did, because they'll get you in a nice conversation. And in 5 minutes, a good professional salesman, he'll mark you. He'll know exactly what you're looking for, what you want, what you need. He'll make sure you walk out there with it, and he's got your money, and you got his stuff. I'm telling you, it's a powerful tool. The Bible had it in it long before mankind came up with it. God is the source of all this wisdom. So in here, here's about two different families talking about the power of two and relationships. 1874, state of New York had a terrible problem. The prisons were overcrowded, and they could not build new facilities fast enough. Well, that's amazing. 1874, we could not build prisons fast enough. Fascinating, isn't it? Goes and says the state officials didn't know what to do, so they hired a man named R.A. Dugdale to do some research. What is our problem? What is going on with society? Why are people gone crazy all of a sudden? Why are crime rates gone up? What can we do to stop this, to counter this? And so here's what he came up with. He said this. He did some research on two families, came back with this report, and here's what he said. Number one, the first half of the report was a family about a man named Jukes, J-U-K-E-S. Both Max Jukes and his brother married sisters. Now remember, like kind draws like kind. Two are better than one. Well, it depends on what kind of two. The married sisters, according to the report, neither of them believed in Christian training. What does that mean? Well, they're not believers, they're not Christians, they're not reading their Bible, they're not doing what the Bible says, they don't have the wisdom of God. So just leading a different kind of life. He says this, between these two pairs, they had 1,026 descendants. Because of their lifestyles, because like kind will draw like kind, remember what I've told you. Because of their lifestyles, 300 of them died young, many others suffered poor health. Among their descendants, 140 served an average of 13 years each in prison, 190 were confirmed public prostitutes, 100 were confirmed alcoholics, and over a 100-year period, this family cost the state of New York $1.2 million in $1,800 back then, and that was a cheap dollar. Very expensive. The other report, though, it's about a guy named Jonathan Edwards who married a girl of like belief. The power of two. The power of two for good. The power of two for bad. The power of two for good. The power of two for bad. Two's got power in it. It'll go one way or the other depending on your heart. So this is the other family he studied, Edwards. Edwards and his wife had 729 descendants over the same period of time. Of those, 300 were preachers, 65 were college professors, 13 were university presidents, 60 were authors, 3 were congressmen, and 1 served as vice president of the United States. With the exception of a grandson named Aaron Burr, who was hanged for treason, the second family did not cost the state of New York a single penny. Now, what's the difference? Well, God said two are better than one. Like kind or draw like kind. Well, if I'm going to draw who I am, you know, the pressure's on me to grow up. I need to get better. I need to get in the Word of God. I need to repent. I need to forgive. I need to grow in His grace. I need to renew my mind with the Word of God. I need to meditate His Word day and night. Because again, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. People all the time in my family, they'll call, Joe, why do they act that way? Why does my husband act that way? Why do my children act that way? Why does my boyfriend act that way? Why do my kids act that way? I can tell you, people act the way they act because that's the way they think. And people think the way they think because that's what they feed on. If you feed on stupid, you are stupid. If you feed on good, you are good. You are what you feed on. It's a law of the Bible. It's like gravity. So you got to watch what you feed on. Now look at this. David Wilkerson, who started Teen Challenge. Most everybody's heard of Teen Challenge. Cross the Switchblade was a famous movie he made about the work he did in New York City with the gangs down there. He wrote a book called Parents on Trial. And he began to ask his kids that were in his program in those early years, how'd you get involved in all this? Theft, drugs, prostitution, how did you get involved? He said almost every teenager in the early years of Teen Challenge gave him the same answer. Pastor David, we got involved when a friend invited us. When'd you steal your first car? A friend took me along. When'd you smoke your first dope? Said, friend gave it to me. When'd you drink your first beer? Friend gave me one. And over, he said, guys, the Bible says a friend is somebody who will die for you, not somebody who will get you killed. You understand? And even he learned, David Wilkerson, that with that Teen Challenge, that inner city program, realized you will become like who you hang around. You better pick your friends wisely. And I've heard parents say, well, Joe, you can't pick your children's friends. Then you've never read your Bible. You're commanded to. You are commanded to get involved in their social life. Because that's how the devil's going to get involved with them is through relationships. And there's some listen, as a Christian, I'm to feed anybody that's hungry, give water to anybody that's thirsty, visit anybody that's in prison. But I'm also commanded, if you're not living according to the Word of God, I'm commanded to spend no spare time with you or even eat lunch with you. And see, people don't read the Bible. Well, that sounds mean. No, we're very compassionate. We're trying to reach out. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. I don't care how mean you are. I'll visit you. I'll help you out. I'll feed you. I'll give you water. But I don't spend spare time with you because I'm doing a different thing, living a different lifestyle. Look at this right here. I like this. We did a great seminar years ago called 8 Things No Kid Should Leave Home Without. 8 Things No Kid. And it was just sort of a secular study. And we taught this at a major Christian university. And I had several hundred students there. And I realized there's just laws that work whether you're saved or not saved. So one of the first things we told them, said, this is things you need to leave home with. When you leave home eventually, out of high school, out of college, you go out, you better take these with you, because if you don't, you're going to have to get them eventually. Number one was a strong sense of self-worth, a very strong sense of self-worth. Why? You will treat others how you feel about yourself. Do you know, the Bible has the command, says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. What's that mean? I can't love my neighbor any more than I love me. So how you feel about you is crucial. It's critical. Thank God we know we can be born again. You're washed by the blood of Jesus on our way to heaven. God loves us just like we are. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I'm already loved. I'm accepted in the beloved, the Bible says. Strong sense of self-worth. Number two is you need a vision. Where are you going in life? Well, if you're not going somewhere, you know, there's not much reason to talk about anything. Vision, though. My people are stirred for lack of vision, the Bible says, Proverbs 29:18. We need vision. Well, it's great. You're around other people. I learn something. I do better when I get around people doing better than me, that are running faster than me, doing better than me. It provokes me to good works. You understand? But if I don't get around people better than me, I won't grow. And if you notice in society, you notice growing up, we all like to hang out with people just like us, don't we? I've always noticed in the first two or three weeks of school, and I knew the students we had. We had new visiting students coming in who moved into town for the first time. It was amazing how kids would line up with each other. Like kind would draw like kind. You know, it's just amazing. That's why if you know the Bible and you're saved, you know God's Word, you're wanting to reach out and do better. Man, I want to grow in His grace and His knowledge. I want to reach higher. Proverbs 23:7 says this. I love this. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why the greatest thing you'll ever do for yourself as far as your relationships is watch what you feed on. If you begin to feed on the Word of God, I tell people, if you'll just read a proverb a day, you're going to learn several things. Number one, you're going to learn that God loves you. You don't earn His love. God is love. It's not what He does. It's who He is. I don't care if you're not saved. If you get saved tonight and you save the whole state of Texas, you save the whole state of New York, get everybody in there, born again, they're all going to heaven. Do you know God will love you no more after that than He loves you right now? You won't make God love you more than He already does. God is love. It's an incredible thing. So I go back, as a man thinks in his heart, if you know the Word of God and that you're loved and accepted in the beloved, then you can walk into a room and be a blessing, not walk into a room and suck all the oxygen out of the air. You can go around and be salt. You can be light. People are going to love you even more. I'm telling you, it'll be incredible. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, the Bible tells you what to think about. You know, the Bible says if you're thinking something stupid, to cast that thought down, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know how critical it is? Your life is based on what you think. That's why I tell people, if you want to improve your life, your social standing, have good friends. Change how you think. Start reading the Word of God. Find out that God already loves you as much as He'll ever love you right now. It's incredible. He just needs you to receive it and respond. If you'll do that, you can start going out into life and people are just going to be drawn to you and they won't even know why. I remember I was flying to St. Louis one time when TWA Airlines was packed. It was spring break week. And I was sitting at the back of the plane, had a bad seat, and there was a lady sitting in her seat and about half of mine in my seat. And I got on, we've got our seatbelts on, and we were sitting, I mean, just tied in there. And I remember we took off. I let my tray table down. I'm going to do an in-service training program. I opened my Bible up. She looked over. She said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, ma'am. You a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, I'm a Christian. Well, man, that's great. And we got to talking and laughing. She's talking about her family. She had seven brothers and sisters, eight of them in the family. Dad had run off and left them. Mom had raised all of them. She was the youngest. Mom had put every one of them through college. And she's college. She's in her senior year. She's going home to meet her family. She was so excited about life. Now, listen to me, people. Don't take this wrong, because I come from a family of women who are big Irish women. This lady was twice my size, and I'm a big man. She not one time mentioned anything about her size, taking up half my seat. She loved life. She loved people. By the time we landed in St. Louis, there are two stewardesses asked her for her address because she lived there. People fell in love with this woman. You know why? This woman liked herself. People who like themselves are liked by others. Quit trying to prove yourself. Just know that God likes you just like you are. And go out and be a blessing to somebody. Quit thinking about you. I tell people all the time, you go into a room, people aren't staring at you. They think you're staring at them. People are self-conscious. You ever notice that? I, that's why they stand in front of the mirror all the time. How do I look? Quit thinking about yourself. Go somewhere and be a blessing. I'm telling you, we're going to learn some of the greatest things in the Bible about friendships and relationships. It starts off with the power of two. Two are better than one, guys. We're going to help you find one of your greatest friends. It's going to help you grow like never before. You'll never be the same after this teaching in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.